Hey, everybody. Brian Whippin and William Tincup coming to you live with Drive Thru HR. What a wonderful day. I don't know if William's going to call in or not. He's out and about, and hopefully we might hear from him a little bit later. And so if he joins us, fantastic. Love his insight. So first of all, I want to say thanks to my partners over at People Clues. Great assessment play. Check them out, peopleclues.com. And we want to get to our guest. First time on the show, want to introduce Laurie Spieler. Welcome to Drive Thru HR.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Well, it's good first time on the show, which is always fun. We love to hear a new perspective, and I know that it always keeps it interesting for our listeners. If you would introduce yourself, and then we'll take it from there.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Laurie Spieler. I'm the Vice President of Sales at GoodJob. I'm originally from Manchester in England, so I hope I'll speak slowly so you understand my English accent. And GoodJob is all about employee referrals, so I'm happy to speak to you about that or any other subject in the HR world.
Got it. Well, good stuff. And I'm actually a big fan of the kind of the Manchester Man U side of the house.
Manchester City.
Let me be more clear.
Very important. Not United. Manchester City. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, you know, it's you got to pick your lane, and I'm totally jumping on the bandwagon. So
fair enough.
I've actually got a pullover that had the Man U sharp from way back when.
Because
I had an office.
Old. I won't hold that against you. I still can't stay on the line.
I got it. It's all right. Well, I know passions run high. My office was right at the edge of Old Trafford back in a former life. So
yeah.
spent a little time over there and got educated. Very interesting, and it was very valuable, so to say the least. But I get you. I got where you're going with that. It's all right. We can agree to disagree. It's all good.
Enough. No problem. You're the champion. That's fine.
Super Bowl's coming up, so I get my fix on this side. I'm new to the whole football side of the house, so I'm a Portsmouth fan. You want to take it down and go even further?
Oh, Pompey, I've got no problem with Pompey. They're all right. You know, you can support them. Anyone but United is fine in my book.
Okay, you'll cut me a break on that. So yeah, that was the first match I'd ever went to was down in Portsmouth. So good. It was a good experience. Really enjoyed it.
Sure.
Well, hey, let's jump into this. What currently, I mean, we'll divide it up into kind of two lanes to start out. So we first have the lane of, like, what are you thinking about kind of the interesting, you know, industry? When you start thinking about HR and human capital, what do you see going on, even if it might not even relate to what you do every day, but what are some things that you're seeing going on? Let's take that lane first, and then we'll come back a little bit later in the show, and we can talk about kind of what you're hearing from your customers. So,
okay.
So what's top of mind with you?
I think what's interesting is how the HR world is trying to adapt to the smartphone mobile age. Everything's moving over to smartphones, and so the HR world needs to adapt to that. And whether that means recruiting, whether that means interviewing, whether that means, you know, posting jobs, whatever it may be, people are realizing that the majority of their employees and their potential employees are on smartphones these days. And so that's seeing a major shift over to solutions that obviously are smartphone friendly. And obviously the other side of things is obviously social media. Everyone's trying to leverage social media, whether it be the source of new candidates or for career branding, whatever it may be. And surprisingly, it's a lot harder than you would think trying to find new recruits through social media. And so there's a lot of innovative companies, GoodJob being one of them, that's trying to find solutions to ensure that both social and mobile are working for HR.
Got it. So what do you think is causing, to me, I guess maybe I see latency because I'm definitely in the mix of social, the social technologies. But do you think that there is actually some lag time or some latency for people to get in and actually figure out where to go get candidates? Because the candidates are there, right? And
correct.
There are, you know, more. You have there's more access to talent now as far as like getting a glimpse of them, a preview of them, and connecting with them than there ever has been. So what's the big deal?
Well, the challenge is really you want to find passive candidates. So let's talk about trying to leverage social media. There's different approaches that recruiters can use. They can have things like company pages and Twitter accounts and LinkedIn profiles and try and build up a network of potential candidates and through these different means. The trouble is, though, you really want to find passive candidates. Active candidates aren't the issue. Active candidates will find you. But if you're looking for passive candidates, it doesn't matter how cool your Facebook page may be, your company Facebook page, they're not going to necessarily like it even though it exists. So it's not enough just to try and have a social media presence. You need to be smarter than that. Another approach that recruiters take is to try and build up their own personal LinkedIn profiles. And so they'll build up a big database of potential top talent that they'll be connected to on LinkedIn. Now, the challenge with that is that, as you and I both know, recruiters are not married to the companies they work in today, and they could well be in another company next month. And so companies aren't that comfortable with recruiters investing in their own personal databases, which they'll take with them when they move on to another company, and the company doesn't own. So there's certain challenges. I mean, I feel that the best approach is to actually leverage the employees' connections through their social media. Because the average employee has something like 500 people connected to them across Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And so if you can somehow reach out to your employees' connections, then you'll probably find the top talent you're looking for. Once again, not as easy as it sounds. There's different ways of doing it. Obviously, leveraging your employees, you don't want to be overly intrusive. You don't want to, you know, ask them to profile their friends and connections because they're not going to give you access to that. So you've got to be very delicate when you're trying to leverage a private network of the employee to reach their connections. And bearing in mind, it is a private network of the employee, so you've got to respect that privacy whenever you're trying to leverage it. So there's a certain delicacy involved there.
So how would you, you know, obviously there's definitely some differences in probably the nuances and resources available. What's advice you would give to approaching that process to like the small company HR practitioner who doesn't really have access to a lot of other resources other than they need to be, you know, they need to design a process to get to these private networks? What are some kind of bullet points you're like, okay, I would think about it this way, I would do this to kind of get that program going and thinking about it?
So, I mean, what you need to do is if you want to use your employees' existing private networks, which, as we said, is probably the best way of finding the right talent pool, you need to give the employees the right motivation in order to want to share their private networks with you. And so one thing that, you know, there's different tools out there. We're one of them. Some tools are very intrusive and want to actually profile your employees' friends, as I mentioned. And that's something that employees, what I've seen is employees aren't comfortable with that. They aren't comfortable with allowing a piece of software or a platform being able to go through their connections, whether it be on LinkedIn or Facebook, and try and pick out the top talent, because they feel that's overly intrusive. That's already crossing that level of comfort. So if you can get your employees to be, you know, happy to post to their status update, for example, open positions, or tweet about them for all their friends to see, they're generally comfortable with doing that if you motivate them correctly and you give them the right rewards for allowing you to do so.
Okay.
So I think, for example, if a recruiter sends an email out to all of his employees saying, please post on your status update a link to our careers page, then the employees are not likely to really do that because they have no incentive. Because if someone clicks on the link and applies for a job, the recruiter will never know which employee actually referred them. So you need to have some sort of trackable network to ensure the employees are going to be rewarded and recognized for giving you access to their friends. And there's platforms out there like GoodJob that allow you to do that.
Got it. Okay. Well, those are, I mean, those are some good tangible ways to think. Because I'm of the same philosophy. I definitely think that one of the biggest, you know, the go to the well strategy is just avoid it. It's people are uncomfortable with it, and they're just really they're just very fearful of being too intrusive and saying, okay, who do we know? You know, who can you ask? Who can we know? Can you share this information with, you know, friends, family, your network? And that's your best place to get familiar, you know, candidates that have a familiarity with the company and the person and everything. So,
and also the trouble with profiling, you even miss out, because the way that social media works is that if I see on a friend's status update that such and such a company is looking for an IT manager. Now, I'm a sales guy, I'm not an IT manager, so it may not be relevant to you, but my brother may be an IT manager. So I'll share it with him. So it goes to your second and third level of connections to find the appropriate candidate. But if you profile, you're going to miss out on me because I would never have seen it, and therefore you'll miss out on my brother. And so by doing a broadcast, you're actually leveraging social media in the way it's meant to be done, for everyone to see it, and then they can pick and choose what they want to respond to.
Sure. What? So that's kind of that's practitioner, and maybe it's the same. So if you've got a ton of resources, you're a big company, and you're like, I've got to architect out this new program. Would you have any other different recommendations to the big company to build a program out like that?
So what's very important is that, as I mentioned, that the employees are rewarded. Now, the traditional approach when it comes to employee referrals has always been, let's give the one person whose friend we hire X amount of dollars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's not really working today, because the employees today, first of all, what a lot of companies do is say, well, you know what, we'll give the employee who referred candidate X amount of dollars 6 months after that person's been working in the company. Now, put yourself in the place of an employee. And they say, well, you know what, if I do something today, if I post this on my wall, whatever it may be, then there's probably a 3 month recruitment process and then another 6 months until I get my reward. I'm looking at something in 9 months' time. Now, today's employees do not do things that they're going to see a potential reward for in 9 months. It needs to be a lot more tangible. It needs to be a lot more available. And so what we recommend that companies do is actually reward employees as their candidates progress through the recruitment process. So instead of saying I'll give one person $1,000, we'd say, why don't you give points to your employees? You can give them all 50. Everyone who sends me a good candidate, give them 50 points once they pass the phone qualification, for example. Give them another 100 points after they've had a first interview, and maybe another 500 points after they've had a second interview, and 1,000 points to the one person whose friend you hire. But that way you're recognizing everyone's efforts, and all the employees that have sent you decent candidates, they're getting points. You're making a game out of the whole process. And you're changing the mentality and the feeling within the company, the culture within the company, that employee referrals are actually something that's a game, that's fun, that you want to take part in. We, for example, have leaderboards so the employees can see who's the top referrer by department or by company to make more of a game out of it. And another advantage of using points rather than giving the one person cash is that those points can be cashed in for prizes. We very much recommend that organizations don't stop giving cash. Cash is no longer king when it comes to employee referrals. We strongly recommend that clients use prizes, because the advantage of prizes, if you're an employee and you've received a $1,000 bonus, you're not going to come into work on Monday morning and tell everyone about the $1,000 bonus you had in your paycheck. Because by nature, employees don't talk about cash bonuses or what goes
right
on the paycheck. However, if they received an iPad or a weekend away, or, you know, even we've got some clients for 100 points, they let their employees park in the CEO's parking spot for a couple of days. Now, that doesn't cost them anything, but believe me, it creates a whole lot of buzz within the organization. Employees talk about it, employees brag about it, and it reminds the other employees that there's actually an employee referral program out there. So it gets you a much bigger bang for your buck in terms of the recruiter's actual budget. So prizes and points and gamification, that's the way ahead when it comes to an employee referral program.
So you want it to go viral at the water cooler, where everybody's talking about it. and it's the point of conversation that you know that is fun for people in there. You get the electricity, right? We've all walked in those offices.
Absolutely.
Where
I mean,
you
we've
have
got small
buzz,
companies where the CEO will walk around and he'll actually physically hand out the prizes to the employees. And makes a big fuss about it. And that makes a whole, it's changing. Forget this, you know, seeing money on the paycheck. I mean, if you walk into a company that's giving cash and you grab an employee in the corridor and say, who received a referral bonus in the last 6 months? I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have a clue. He wouldn't be able to tell you because it's not talked about. But if companies are using prizes and games and making fun out of it, he'll be able to reel off a whole name of people that's got some sort of bonus. And so you need to let the employees know it's out there in order to engage them.
Right. I think that is fantastic because you can see the reaction, right? You get that there's still the human connection you can't get through some, you know, somebody looking at the their payroll, their pay stub and or their online payroll stub.
So people like to treat themselves. An employee referral bonus is meant to be a bonus. It's meant to be something fun where, you know, if you get cash, you'll probably, spend it on the grocery store or pay off your mortgage or whatever it may be. You're not going to treat yourself because you don't. Times are tough. However, if you have to choose from an Xbox or an iPad or a weekend away, you're going to choose something fun, you're going to enjoy it, and it's going to encourage you to send a lot more people. And
right.
You're going to brag about it in the workplace, which will actually, you know, create a lot more buzz.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Well, let me do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, it's Brian Wimpen on with Laurie Spieler, and hopefully, and we might hear from William Tincup. He might call in and check in with us and give a perspective from San Francisco. He's out there speaking at an event, social recruiting event out there with a bunch of other fine folks. So, well, let's. I'm gonna go. We do a little exercise. We do a little thing on here every once in a while. Laurie, of what are terms? What are words or terms that if you never hear again, you would be just fine with it? Your life would be better if you did not hear somebody say something again. Like, I don't know what it might be. It might, you know, some people are tired of gamification. Obviously, that's your world, so probably not. But that would be one.
Does Manchester United count as one of those types of words? Or?
for you, because of the passion I hear coming through the other Manchester team, then we'll make that count. We'll make that count.
Fair enough.
Man U. We'll put Man U at the top of the list. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the words if I don't hear again? I think the number one word, and it's going similar back to what I was saying, is a probation period. We pay the employees after a probation period. Because this whole idea of probation periods, if you hired a candidate, if you're a recruiter and you've hired a candidate and he leaves after 3 weeks, then there's probably several people to blame. There's probably the recruiter who's made a bad hire, whoever the hiring manager who's did a bad job of onboarding. But there may be all sorts of people within the organization to blame. But one person who shouldn't be blamed is the employee who's tried to help out, do something beyond his job description, try and help out the recruiter by providing a good candidate, and he's being penalized the fact that they made a bad hire. It's ludicrous. The employees are treated like recruitment agencies, and it's not their job to recruit. So I would be delighted if I never heard companies say, we pay after a six-month probation period, because I think it's ludicrous. Plus, the percentage of referral candidates that leave within the first 6 months is so low, because referral candidates generally stay around, that, you know, all you're doing is devaluing your bonus without actually saving yourself any money. So I think probation periods for employee referral programs should be completely forgotten, be a thing of the past. I think we need to move on.
Cool. Anything else? That's a good one.
Thank you. Anything else that I don't hear again? If people say to me, well, I'm trying to improve my employee referral scheme, I'm going to double my bonus. If you think doubling your bonus is the answer to the problem, you don't understand how to engage employees, because it's not about doubling the bonus. It's about actually engaging them. And it's not about money. So that misconception, I'd be happy if I don't hear that again. But one other thing, I know this may be a little not exactly answering your question, but going back, a big change that's happening and going back to mobile is applications that help recruiting. And I'm seeing more and more of them around, whether it allows allows you to interview your potential candidates from their mobile phones. There's companies out there now that have a mobile phone app that the candidate can download, and they can actually do an interview when they're a video interview with the recruiter from their device. There's other job searching mobile apps. Good Job themselves have got the first ever employee referral app, so a white labeled employee referral app that can go on the employee's smartphone. They can see the open jobs, they can apply for jobs, they can enter candidates in there, and they can share them with their social networks. Because one thing about referrals, which is interesting, is that they don't happen in the workplace. They happen when the employees are out socializing. So you need to give them a tool that's on their device so they can actually act on it if they meet a good potential candidate. So that's why we've developed an employee referral app for the smartphones. And there's lots of other cool smartphone devices coming out there, applications going out there for the different stages in recruitment, that's moving the recruiting world and recognizing that smartphones are the way ahead. I mean, I think in the US, the percentage of people with a smartphone, particularly if we take away very young kids in the older generation, I think is around the 60-70% mark. So you really can't ignore that. More people access Facebook these days on smartphones than from the PC. You know, so you really need to realize that your potential candidates are using smartphones. You need to find a way of being able to reach out to them, you know, and speak to them in their language.
Perfect. Actually, I've got a question from the back channel. Nisha would like to know or hear just your thoughts on how to track referrals, especially coming from social media, because it's, you know, that's a pretty broad network. So how do you keep track of where all of the influx is coming from on that?
Well, I mean, so that's something that you would need a platform like Good Job to do. And then when the posting goes up on your employee's status update saying, for example, XYZ company is hiring an IT manager, so that post will actually be unique to the employee. And so when someone clicks on that post and it takes them to an application page and they apply, that will be a unique application page with a. It's a little bit like an affiliate network, so we'll have an affiliate tag in there. And so when the recruiter receives the application in the end, they will be able to know which employee's page the posting was originally seen on. So even if a friend of the employee shares it with their own network, it'll still contain the code of the employee who originally posted it to ensure they'll be rewarded for the eventual candidate.
So it works
a little bit like an affiliate network. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. And actually, that's interesting. So do you actually see like technologies and a lot of the methodology that's been around for, you know, affiliate networks really kind of started blowing up like in the late 90s, early 2000s. There were a bunch of those large, huge ones that just exploded, right?
Right.
And now they're kind of everywhere with, you know, all the different technology and everything works. Do you see that kind of permeating that philosophy around how that affiliate networks work?
I think there's certain technology that you can take from affiliate networks. I think it's important that you don't turn your referral program into an affiliate program, because one thing that's important with it, because if I see a post on a friend's wall for company XYZ, for example, and he works at company XYZ, then I'll think, fair enough, he's trying to recruit for his company. But if people start spamming my wall with random jobs that they're not connected to and they're trying to be affiliates, then I'm probably going to block those posts. It's going to be overly intrusive. So you don't want to turn your employee referral into an affiliate network, but you might want to use some of the technology that affiliate networks have in order to make sure it's trackable.
Does your organization, I mean, does it have it so it'll track, like you said, I know you mentioned an app. Does it track it through the social networks so you kind of know, you know, where that ID is coming from?
Absolutely, yeah. Whenever you get a candidate as a result of a Good Job posting, you'll know exactly which employee is the source of that candidate. So you'll always be able to reward them, because your employees aren't going to post anything that they're not going to be rewarded for. So you need to make sure that you know that it's trackable in order to encourage them to take part.
Got it. So it doesn't ultimately become a negative motivation, because you put a program in and you can't actually track it. And then it becomes I didn't get paid for this, or, you know, now it's, you know, why didn't you see that? So that's probably a buyer beware type thing, is think through that whole referral process that it doesn't become a negative,
Absolutely.
A negative engagement strategy.
Also, but the nature of social networks is that if someone clicks on a link on my page or acts on something that I've done, I'm notified about it. I mean, that's the way social networks work. And so, therefore, you want to ensure your employee referral program reflects that. And you want to have, you know, transparency with your employees so they know if they posted something, or in fact, you did a good job, the recruiter can post on the employee's behalf, and someone clicks on it, then the employee knows about it. So you want to have that visibility and transparency to get the confidence of the employee to keep on posting.
Sure. So thank you very much for that and answering Nisha's question. So what is a big surprise that you're going to predict is coming in toward the end of the year 2014? What's something you will predict is coming? Give us a change. What do we need to be looking for?
Well, I think that the reliance on recruitment agencies is going to decrease. I already think that's happening now, but because you've got, you know, the big value of a recruitment agency maybe 5-10 years ago was that they had a database that was, you know, that was unique to them, and you wouldn't be able to access it. But with things like LinkedIn and other social networks, you've got much more access to the potential candidates out there. You may need to use an employee referral program in order to get to them, but that's a lot cheaper than using the recruitment agency. So I think recruitment agencies are only going to really exist for the very niche jobs or the discrete jobs, the ones you don't want to advertise. But I think, you know, that whole market, whereas recruitment agencies have had a really an incredible period over the last 10 years, and everyone's been in, you know, recruiting and been doing very well, I think they're going to find it much harder now that, the social media is out there that's ensuring that the databases are out for everyone to see.
Interesting. Okay, good prediction on that. And we've got about about 2 minutes left, and wanted to definitely ask you, where are some places, maybe conferences you're going to be at? Where can folks possibly grab a cup of coffee, meet you, have a drink over the next few months?
Okay, so we may well be at the ERE Summit in San Diego in a few months' time. We're considering going to there. What's interesting is that face-to-face, I mean, going back to your original question, perhaps this would have been an answer too, what's changing a lot also in the world of sales is that face-to-face meetings are definitely becoming also a thing of the past. Whether that may be a shame a little bit and that personal touch may be missing from business these days, I think with the things like GoToMeeting and WebEx and these other tools out there, inside sales, and purchasing things when you've never actually met the person on the other end, but you've had maybe a number of, you know, online demos and the like, I think that's possibly, you know, the future. I think from a cost point of view, it's a lot cheaper, obviously, the cost per sale will decrease if you can reduce the number of face-to-face meetings. So while we will still be going to shows, as we book them, they'll be up on our website where we're going. I think a lot more sales will be made, and this isn't just applied to obviously Good Job, but to a lot of industries, but a lot of SaaS companies. That a lot of it's going to move over to the web, and I think that there's going to be a lot more online meetings, online demos, and deals being closed virtually.
Well, I appreciate that, Laurie. Thank you for coming on and giving us a good deep dive and some great nuggets for folks to think about their recruiting strategy, especially their social recruiting strategy. And we'll we'll think a little bit more about the whole Manchester conversation on a later date, maybe over a cocktail. How about that?
I could have talked about that for half an hour as well, but we'll maybe another time.
Hey, that sounds great. Folks, we're out of here. Have a good rest of the day. See you tomorrow.
I got a red, she's a deleter. Wiped off the face of the earth and gone. Shot into space, 'cause she's a deleter. I'm a repeater, she's a deleter, now I'm gone.